Hey, let me bug you for just a second. Father's Day is coming up this Sunday, and Amazon Prime Day is coming up June 21st and 22nd with Amazon's best prices of the year. Whenever you shop through Amazon for Father's Day or for Amazon Prime Day or any time, please shop through our Amazon store. That's shop.bradandbrit.com. That's shop.bradandbrit.com. Doesn't change the price of anything, and it helps us out. And we thank you for helping us out.
Brad and Britt.
It is the Brad and Britt cast. It's our second appearance this week. A lot of people said, stop after one, but that wasn't good enough for us. We're back.
We are not. We're not going to do that. We're going to at least do two.
What do you got? What do you want to roll out onto the floor here? I got a few things, but I rolled shit out yesterday. You roll it out today.
Well, I do like I mentioned to you just a moment ago before we got started. We're forgiving Marjorie Taylor Greene, the awful congresswoman from Georgia, who just not that long ago was talking about how mask mandates were exactly like the Holocaust, exactly what Hitler did in Nazi Germany by executing millions upon millions upon millions of Jews. Wearing a mask is exactly the same thing as loading people into trains to go to death camps and then gassing them en masse. Now she has backed off of that because somebody said, hey, there's this thing like not too far from where you work called the Holocaust Museum, which actually memorializes the atrocities toward the Jewish folks. So why don't you take a little stroll through that, Marjorie, and then let's see if you still feel that wearing a mask is exactly the same thing as executing tens of millions of Jews and their families and what we call genocide. So she takes the tour. She comes out. Oh, time out. You get a time out.
But before you detail it, remember, I'm going to put up the fake apology warning ahead. Go ahead.
So she just happens to have a lectern available to her after and she makes a few basic remarks. She goes, look, really screwed up. And as it turns out, I shouldn't have said those things. And I just like to own what I said. And I'd like to apologize for saying those things. I've seen what happened here at the museum, which was readily available to me. And pretty much, even though it's not obvious to every human being who is sentient, they are aware of the atrocities and would never make that comparison. But now that I've been through this museum, I now know that what I said was wrong. Now, Your response to that.
That has about all the weight of this little, this is a gum wrapper I'm holding here. See how heavy that is? Watch it float. It kind of floats down. That's how weighty and relevant what she has to say now is. First of all, obviously, the fact that she thought and then said what she originally said, That's game, set, and match right there. There is no coming back, and there's no apology from that.
Well, there was. I mean, it should also to be fair to you. Not only did she say it when she said it, but then there were people who said, "Marjorie, do you really want to say that?" And she said, "Fuck yeah!" Like five times. She said, "I absolutely a million times want to say that."
Right. I was only half right. Right. It was worse.
I want to give you a moment to reconsider what you just said, and she goes, fuck that, full speed ahead. And then she did it like a bunch of times.
So first, the fact that she said, what was this about? Was it 2 weeks ago or so?
Yeah.
All right. So you know our famous rule about apologies. And, you know, once you cross, certainly the one-day mark when you do something like this, it's too late. And then if you get to 2 weeks and you clearly believe it's going to have to be beaten out of you, and you're going to have to be presented with exhibits in a museum to, quote, teach you as if that's what is necessary for you to learn the truth so that you can apologize for something that you shouldn't have ever thought of or said or should have known about in the first place. I don't accept her apology. But to make it worse, she doubled down on saying, well, yeah, I shouldn't have said that about the specific rules about mask wearing being equated to what was done to Jews and other people in Nazi Germany during the Holocaust. But remember, the Democratic Party of the United States is still just like the National Socialist Party, the Nazis, in Germany. Now, that is another level of ignorance.
Right.
And false equivalence.
Right.
And stupidity that is just as bad. You know, that's the old equivalence of, well, the Republican Party, the party of Lincoln, that's the party that loves blacks and gave them civil rights because Lincoln won the Civil War. So it's the Democrats who are the racists now. And every year on Martin Luther King Day, it's Martin Luther King would have been a Republican. That kind of twisting, turning upside down bullshit. And the ignorance to say that because Hitler's party was officially the National Socialist Party, as if National Socialism, circa 1930s, 1940s Germany, is somehow equivalent or equates to socialism as it is being talked about in the world today, or being described as government control over economic factors and issues and running industries and things of that sort, or in the words of Republicans, taxing anyone to spend money on everyone. That's socialism, right? Anything for the public good that takes tax dollars, that's socialism, right? I mean, I'm boiling it down, being very simplistic about it, but the Nazi party was a far right wing fascist party just because they were called the National Socialists. That's like the Democratic Republic of Korea. That's North Korea. Okay. So is North Korea a democracy because they're called the Democratic Republic of North of Korea? No. So she doubled down on it and still tried to slur the Democratic Party in the United States of America as being the Nazi party. And to me, I'm sorry, no sale, get out. And she's scared shitless now because there's a resolution that's about to come up to censure her.
Right.
And, she's getting closer to getting tossed than anybody has been for a while.
She's already on zero committee. She has no committee power at all.
Lost that. Right. So it's a fake apology. It's an apology out of ignorance. And, the Holocaust Museum in the United States in Washington was not built so that it could educate moronic members of the United States House of Representatives. That's not, you know, it's sad that it has to be used for that particular purpose.
It's sad. It's like if you had someone who goes, yeah, fuck the Jews, I don't give a shit about them. Well, I'm going to stroll through this. Oh, wait a minute. I just strolled through this museum and now I've changed my mind. You know, I don't think it should take that. I think it's fair. I think the Holocaust Museum is extremely important, right, but so, you're exactly right. It gives you a depth of point. What happened.
She's just trash. Next subject. I'm done.
And I was also, again, looking at this, as I'm looking at foxnews.com, I'm not really seeing that Marjorie Taylor Greene apology as being up there as highlighted at all.
Of course.
Here are things that are much more important than that. Roger Waters goes off over Facebook request to use Pink Floyd song. That's way more important to you as a Fox viewer than finding out that Marjorie Taylor Greene apologized for being an idiot.
I don't understand the story.
They've got a story about Roger Waters, and it's a picture of Roger Waters next to Mark Zuckerberg, and it says musician Roger Waters slammed Mark Zuckerberg after rejecting Facebook's offer to use a Pink Floyd song. The founding member of the rock band, 77, revealed to the social media company asked to use the 1979 song Another Brick in the Wall Part 2 for an Instagram ad. Rolling Stone reported that Waters said the offer was a huge, huge amount of money. It arrived this morning for an offer of a huge amount of money, Waters revealed. The answer is, fuck you, no way. So that's a very important story for the Fox audience.
Hang on a second.
They need to know.
He's an idiot. I'll tell you why he's an idiot.
Why is he an idiot?
What he should have done, it's very simple. What you do is you take the money and you donate the money to whatever kind of law firm or group of individuals, if you hate Facebook that much, who are all about breaking up Facebook.
Sure.
Or making their business more sensitive to not destroying the whole world. That's what you do, because that's technically, you're getting money out of, it's a tiny amount. It's a multi-billion, almost a trillion-dollar company. I understand that. But you're taking a little bit of that money and using it appropriately. And you would get more publicity for that, because I guess all day long there are people who don't want their music to be used in commercial enterprises. And can we play the whataboutism game here? Can we play the yeah, but what? Okay, so fucking Trump used every song on earth by artists who wanted nothing to do with him. And of course, they were paid nothing for that.
And they couldn't stop it. There was apparently no way to stop it ever.
Right. And he couldn't stop it because, he's a public figure and all those reasons that they couldn't technically
If I go on this live stream that we're doing right now and I play 10 seconds of Borderline by Madonna, 15 lawyers show up at my doorstep and they start beating the shit out of me. Right?
No, I think we're good. Aren't we good for like fair use for 30 seconds of anything?
It's just a few seconds, but then they'll kill. Yeah. Well, we're on YouTube, and YouTube is like completely, and I don't want to use the word Nazis because we just went over that, but they're really, really stringent about it. They don't play. It's like 50. It's like just a few seconds on YouTube, and then Google will kill you. They send a guy to your house to kill you. That's what they do. But you're right. Trump would use, you can't always get what you want, to close out every campaign rally. And the Rolling Stones would always be like, oh, we don't like that. But it could never stop. And he could never get sued for it or anything.
Speaking of that, our old friend Holland Cook posted something. I just stole it and put it up on my Facebook page. Somebody has a mock-up of an admission ticket to the second inauguration of Donald J. Trump at the Capitol. It is so it's a perfect looking tick. And of course there are no tickets probably, but it's so perfect. It's so well done. Whoever mocked that up.
It's coming in August, right? That's when it's happening, is in August when he's going to be reinstalled. Yeah, yeah. Right. See, we're still going forward with it.
See, I knew it was a fake ticket because it said upper level. See, that's.
So, yeah, Roger Waters apparently was at a pro Julian Assange event. So he could donate the money to whatever Julian Assange fever dream that he's in. By the way, one of rock and roll's great assholes. Roger Waters. He's kind of, over the years, he's kind of mellowed, but he still, people have to remember what a massive asshole.
He has not mellowed. That's the point. That's exactly the point.
People have forgotten about him firing half of the band, like right after when they were truly very successful in that awful Final Cut album. I was also looking at this particular story when it comes to apparently there are right-wing folks that are saluting John Stewart for buying into the Wuhan lab leak theory. Apparently the conservatives who hated John Stewart for many years when he was on The Daily Show, apparently he's made an appearance on The Late Show, and he's sort of looking into and saying that this whole Wuhan lab leak thing is something that has some credence with him. Now conservatives love John Stewart, Brad. They think that he's a great thing, and they pat him on the back for this.
Well, the collective idiocy and ignorance surrounding where we are at this moment in this attempt to find out where did the coronavirus actually emanate from is just emblematic of everything else, which is you must pick a side. Right. And now you really have to pick a side. And the two sides are this. Trump was right all along, because Trump always knew it was the Kung Flu China virus, and that they probably did it. Not only did they probably do it, they definitely did it. And they might have done it. They did do it on purpose. And Trump was right. And no one would admit it, because the liberal media thought that everything that Trump ever said was a lie, so they didn't believe it, and now they have egg on their face. That's one side of it, okay? Mm-hmm. The other side of it is completely reasonable, which is that back in February, March, when this started, it was not known where the virus came from, and the most obvious and the time-tested science over where these kinds of viruses come from is jumping from animals to humans at a certain level. And most scientists said that is the most likely reason that it exists. However, because Trump had his foot to the floor on the accelerator saying, no, it couldn't have been that because I'm trying to win in a fucking election in 8 months and I got to bash the Chinese. Yes, the natural reaction to normal people was to go, well, Trump's fucking lying about everything else. Why would he have any knowledge about this? So therefore, the possibility that it was a lab experiment gone wild, like Frankenstein's monster, didn't seem like it would have much credence to it. Although most people, including Dr. Fauci, the aforementioned new villain of right-wingedness, right? The man who must be fired.
It's not that new.
The man whose fault it was that, right. The man who killed 600,000 people by himself, right? Everyone said, we really doubt. We don't think it's likely that it came from a lab, but all right. So all these months later, we find out that three people who worked in that lab got very, very sick. Chinese refused to cooperate with anybody. Mm-hmm. And so this turns into the story that you just talked about, where Jon Stewart will go on a show, and Jon Stewart in his post Daily Show days now kind of makes his living being the contrary guy. In a way where he doesn't have a lot of time to explain himself. He doesn't have a lot of writers. So if he just throws something out and there's no nuance to it, what happens? It gets grabbed by Fox, right? And they run with it, and the right wingers. So that's where it is. Do we know where this came from right now? No, not for sure. Could it have come from a lab experiment gone awry? Certainly. Do we know that? No. And, even if we never find out for sure, that will have nothing to do with the response by then President Donald Trump and his reluctance to do what was right for the American people and the world, except for spending a lot of American tax dollars to stockpile vaccines. That's all he did. But he didn't do it. It wasn't his check. Okay, I'm sure it was other people's ideas that said, Trump, this is what we should do. The same ideas that would have been thrown to any president in office at that time.
Right.
Anyone would have done that. But he thinks that that means that he individually is responsible for the fact that we have a high vaccination rate now and we're beating the virus better than most countries in the world. No, we're beating most countries in the world in spite of Donald Trump's worst efforts. We're beating the virus now in spite of the fact that Donald Trump not only was passively, aggressively ignorant and stupid about what he was doing all the way through, but then after the election, when he became mopey Donnie, who didn't talk to anybody because he was spending all of his time having third-person emails. By the way, I want to mention that the story today about how he was trying to pressure the guy that was going to replace Bill Barr, after Barr resigned, right there at the in the middle of December, that Trump was already sending this new guy, Jeffrey Rosen, who was going to be the next attorney general for the last few months of Trump's term. The messages were sent to Jeffrey Rosen by email, but Donald Trump doesn't do email, so he has someone else send the email. So that's what the mob boss does. He never calls. He never sends a text message. It's always no fingerprints on anything. I just thought I'd note that. Anyway, back to the coronavirus and the origins of it. Nothing about the origins of the virus has anything to do with the way he horribly responded and was so much less than a leader. He was a barrier to us getting to where we are now. If Trump had been any kind of decent president, we would be well past the 70% mark right now in people vaccinated. We wouldn't be fighting with it. If Trump had ever at any point said some of the right things about how everyone should be wearing a mask as much as possible when you were out in public and social and all the right things, instead of fighting and turning this into a wedge issue, red state, blue state, bullshit freedom thing, we would have been so much further along, and there would be tens, if not hundreds of thousands of people still alive. and we would be a lot further along in the vaccination continuum here, and we'd be better off. We're lucky that we are where we are now. And when you pull back, and we can talk about the 20 or 30% of vaccine hesitant moron people all we want. But the fact is, in the main, you know what? The fucking American people did it.
Yeah.
We did it. The American medical establishment did it, mm-hmm. in spite of these people that are trying to keep the emergency brake stuck down and the car won't move when you drive mm-hmm. with the emergency brake. And they keep trying. They keep trying. But we're succeeding in spite of that. But boy, I know you've seen this story. We've all seen it now, reported several different ways. The remarkable difference in vaccination rates between states that voted and their electoral votes went to Trump versus the states that voted for, I mean, the top 12 or 15 states are all yeah. blue states. It's the bottom 15, or they're all Trump states. That's not an accident.
Well, and I think if you even drilled down, I don't think they've done the data, but even within the blue states, if you went to the red counties, I believe you would find the same thing. If you went to those specific areas, like, and it's usually
definitely in North Carolina, definitely.
Well, in North Carolina, it's true of a lot of states. Like the places that are blue are the places where human beings live, and the places that are red are tend to be the more rural areas. So if you go to the more rural areas, you're going to find less, even though those folks were given access to the vaccine for free. And have had it for a while, and there are some of them even now in North Carolina that are being offered double entry into a $1 million lottery. They're going to go, fuck it. Nope, not going to do it. I have posited to you, and this is my obnoxious shit, I posited to you and John the Catholic an idea that maybe it would be like it would be DeSantis or it would be Greg Abbott. They would offer a $1 million lottery for people not getting the vaccine. If you refuse to, we'll put you in a $1 million lottery. I don't think, obviously, they can't do that, but it'll take one of those Peter Thiel idiots, one of those type of guys who will open up some sort of lottery. You know, one of those libertarian asshole Ayn Rand loving pieces of crap who has like $1 billion laying around, and they'll go, fuck it. If you don't get it and you show me a non-vaccination card, well, maybe that's a new idea. I want a non-vaccination card available in every state. I want a non-vaccination passport showing that I did not take this vaccine. Then you'll be entered in for a drawing of $1 million. But going back to the Jon Stewart thing, it's entirely.
I don't think you're going far enough.
I can go further with that.
I think you'd have to show that you do not have even natural immunity. Because, you know, if you've had the virus didn't get vaccinated, you know, you're not going to infect anybody probably, and you're not going to catch it. So you have to be a special person. You have to have not caught it and still be really vulnerable to catching it. And then we really love you. You're really a patriotic American.
We did the antibody test on you, and you have it. You're not eligible for our lottery.
That's exactly right. Right. You're still special.
Going back to the Jon Stewart thing, I think it's one thing entirely to go, well, as we review this thing, maybe it was in a lab. It's another thing entirely to go, the Chinese did this on purpose, or Dr. Fauci owns a piece of the lab, or, you know, Hunter Biden owns a piece of the lab, or, you know, Hugo Sanchez, whoever, just all, you know, the litany, Hillary Clinton, Nancy Pelosi, Bernie Sanders, they all own a piece of the lab in China that had it. I think there's you can kind of parse it out a little bit because they make you believe such utter bullshit.
Well, but, you know, this is the problem that, you know, we faced, you know, for 100 years now, and we'll face forever in dealing with societies that are not only not transparent, but are, you know, dictatorships and police states. Because if in fact this happened and it was a laboratory accident, in a free and open society, if that happened here, and by the way, you know, they were doing this kind of research in Chapel Hill. Okay. Sure. There is that kind of research going on. There's like three places in the country that do it. Chapel Hill's one of them. If it happened here, we would find out about it. It would get out, and there would be some kind of an accounting for it. You know, it wouldn't be, you know, it wouldn't be Chernobyl. Okay. It wouldn't be what could have happened in China, which is an accidental fuck up. Three people get sick in late 2019. And before you know it, it's coursing through Wuhan, China, and then beyond that. But it's one, and they don't want to admit that because perfect societies never admit their mistakes. They don't ever want to do that. So that's how they roll, and they're not going to cooperate with the world, even if it was just a pure accident, and it could have been. You're right. To take the leap to think that they thought of it and came up with it on purpose, why would they unleash it there at a lab that deals in this kind of research? You would, if you're going to do it, you would set it off somewhere else, like chemical weapons. You'd do it elsewhere.
Well, do you want me to take that?
I'll take the Donald. Go ahead.
I'll take the Donald Trump tact on this. If somebody says to him, you know, hey, China did this on purpose. Oh, you think we don't have biological warfare? We haven't done things like that. Remember, he would say shit like that all the time. He would talk about Putin.
No sense. This isn't biological warfare. It's just stupid.
Exactly.
But you would develop it and then, you know, transport it somewhere else. You'd take it to St. Louis or somewhere if you thought that was the idea, because and I'm sure we're not getting the correct numbers out of China on how many people were infected, how many people have died, and the rest, and they're having problems right now again with, you know, flare-ups of the new mutation over there. So you can think of the Chinese any way you want, but they're not a mass suicidally leaning society. They just wouldn't do it. That doesn't make any sense. Okay. And they don't want to cooperate. So my guess is if that did happen, it was an accident, but they don't want to admit it. So the only way we're going to know about it, and there is no New York Times or Washington Post that's going to blow the lid off of this journalistically in China, that's not going to happen.
Right.
There will have to be a true honest to goodness whistleblower from within, inside, that will start talking, and you know they'll talk for a little bit, and then they'll probably disappear. That's what happens to you. You know, you'd have to get out of China and be able to tell your story with protection from a Western country, never to go back there again if you really were an inside. So that's what we're kind of depending. And I'm sure that there are a lot of folks in the Western press that are searching that out right now, including from Hong Kong, which right, still has a modicum of freedom and has a free press, sort of. So there are people that are looking for that side of the story. But to leap and now suddenly decide automatically, oh, no doubt, if it couldn't have come from a bat, we're never hurting animals, that's bullshit. No, it's not bullshit. That's the way it's always been. And I think Fauci has actually been very consistent. He says, I'm pretty sure the history of this is animals to humans, but I don't rule anything out. And he always said that. He always right, said that. But that doesn't matter, because they'll find a clip of him right, back in April saying, oh, it probably came from animals. And then they'll show a clip of him last week saying, you know, it certainly could have been. Well, he flip-flopped. He's a liar. Fire him. He's bullshit. He probably started AIDS too, so he could cure it, right? You know, right, pretty, it'll be down to that.
The level of scorn and outrage that the Donald Trump fans have aimed at Fauci is like, it's pretty humorous. I mean, it's pretty wild. I think to some of them, they think that Anthony Fauci cost Donald Trump the election. Of course, they don't believe that Donald Trump lost the election, so he really didn't care. He really didn't cost right, Donald Trump the election, right?
He cost him the election that he didn't lose.
So the idea that they whipped this, and I don't know, he's not ever been really a political guy. I'm very sorry that science and truth ended up on the side of the Democrats. I'm sorry, you guys, but that's just how it worked out, and it works out that way a lot of times, as it turns out. But he's not a political guy. He kind of doesn't care who's president now. Ever since Joe Biden's been in, he's been truthful about, like, it's great having to go to work and not fight somebody tooth and nail just to be able to tell the truth and do my job. I mean, he's been pretty truthful about that, right?
He doesn't need our defense, and he doesn't. And you know, he's seen him come and he's seen him go. But all of us have never seen anything come and go like what came and went the last 4 years.
Right.
And, you know, his record speaks for itself. And the idea that anybody was 100% right on everything they said for the last year and a half about anything is ridiculous.
But I can name somebody that was like 99.9% wrong over the past year and a half of what they said. The only thing he actually got right, and it was that incidental, was the thing about the Wuhan lab. That was it. Everything else he was completely wrong about. You saw the, I think it was it Slavitt that came out with that thing? It said, you know, there were three main things that Donald Trump did that made sure that we have, you know, 600,000 dead people now. One of them was denying the entire thing, you know, from the beginning, denying that there was a problem. Number two was going hard after the people that were trying to solve the problem. These are things that are inextricably true. And well, that,
here's the thing. It's not over. It's not over. And that crank, Ron Johnson, the senator from Wisconsin, he's still pushing hydroxychloroquine and some other thing. I can't remember what it is. And so he got kicked off of YouTube. So, of course, now he's a victim.
Exactly.
Oh, my God. He's been canceled. Blah, blah. So it's a never ending cycle of lies and grievance and bullshit. And it never stops.
Well, that's the thing is that, that's the thing that drives me nuts is they always want another bite at the apple. They always want to do over on everything. Like if anything turns out right, even halfway right on anything that he ever said, you said Donald Trump was an idiot, but he turned out to be. No, he didn't. He didn't turn out to be right about anything. There's no half right. There's no half wrong. There's no attempt. It was wrong about everything. It was a horrible 4 years. We're still, as you say, digging out from all of it. The economic downfall of it was completely his fault. He could have done way better from the beginning to try to do something about this that was way better. And now he continues to try to. That picture of him at Trump Tower looked fantastic, right? That was a good look, wasn't it? He did look dreadful up there. Hmm. I mean, I don't know if anything's specifically wrong. And they've been talking about this move to Jersey from Mar-a-Lago for a long time, but they just can't seem to orchestrate it. You know, they just can't seem. Well, it's next week. It's next week. It's next week. And they can never seem to get him going on this thing, right? It's really weird.
I haven't paid much attention to that particular story, but my guess is that Palm Beach, Florida in general, friendly territory for Trump. Yeah. New Jersey, not Trump-friendly territory at all. And in the end, they don't want him there. Just in general. And I'm not saying that, you know, it's not that Donald Trump didn't get any votes in New Jersey. I'm not saying that. That's not the point. But the overall vibe, the overall atmosphere, it's not the same. He, you know, for instance, if Donald Trump went out to an actual restaurant in Palm Beach, if he went to an expensive white tablecloth place for, you know what? I'm sure it's that he'd get the standing of the whole thing. He cannot do that in New Jersey. He can't do it in New York. Can't do it.
Well, there's parts of Jersey where he would be accepted. I can't think of them offhand, but I would.
Actually you can't. You actually can't. There are New Jersey isn't, it's not that way. The state is too blue think, oh, there's these really red parts of Jersey. No, I don't. It's not that way.
It's some of the mafia guys he used to work with. Surely he would be accepted by them wherever they're hanging out in Jersey. He's got to be. He would be all right there, wouldn't he?
Did you see that picture somebody posted on? It's from the beach in South Carolina, and some asshole has a giant flag on the beach and around their little cabana thing. It says, right. "Don't blame me. I voted for Trump."
Right.
Okay. As if, you know, the country has just completely gone down the toilet in the last 6 months since Donald Trump is no longer president. And the comments are so hilarious. The takedown of the person who put that up as if that is and it starts, well, it is South Carolina. Well, you know, right. The coast of South Carolina, Myrtle Beach or Hilton Head, those would be probably some of the bluest parts of South Carolina, I would guess.
Charleston would be, I would say Columbia would be.
Yeah.
Everything else, Ali Ali oxen free. You know, everything else, you're pretty much screwed. Hilton Head and Charleston and Columbia are going to be like, if there's a Democrat in the woods somewhere. Hard to tell.
But just the fact that you're such a jerk, you would put a flag up like that, a political sign, in effect,
right,
at the beach, you know, you're really inviting trouble. Just trouble there.
What's on your agenda today on the wheel of Krantz here?
This one is, let's see, this is from WRAL.
Okay.
This has to do with our esteemed North Carolina legislature on the urging of Tom Tillis, I think. Let me make sure I've got this.
Tom Tillis, the fantastic senator from the great state of North Carolina, is just doing a hell of a job. Tremendous guy. Yeah. Our other guy is leaving office, and that's where the scrum has come in with Donald Trump endorsing a do-nothing congressperson, Ted Budd, and that apparently has pissed off every Republican possible who just doesn't want to say anything bad about Donald Trump and his endorsement of that, but they're pissed off at him about all of that. Including, I saw the Mark Walker people. The Mark Walker people are very upset about it, but they just don't want to trash Donald Trump.
And why would they?
It should be a lot of fun, but obviously this means that we're not going to get Laura Trump as our senator when it comes next year, because Donald Trump himself is throwing his endorsement behind Ted Budd, who, by the way, did a tremendous job. Just a great job.
All right, I got it here. Here we go.
Okay. Oh,
Jesus Christ. and the 1619 project.
Okay.
Which is supposedly all about critical race theory, which is that race has had a lot to do with just about everything going back to the beginning of the United States and all the way back to 1619 when the first slaves got here, and slavery and racism have infected a lot of things, and we need to know about that. And how many fingers do you have on your right hand, Britt?
Currently
four
five.
Fingers and a thumb. I don't think you could fill all them up with the number of schools or school systems that are, quote, teaching this across the country.
Right.
Right. So think of that in contrast to how apoplectic the Fox News right-wing disinformation, racist outrage machine has turned this into the issue of the last few weeks. You would think that this is a big thing. So we have Tom Tillis, Tom Cotton, a Republican senator you've never heard of, John Boozman from Arkansas. That's right. There is a Republican senator named John Boozman. He invented alcoholism.
See there.
Marsha Blackburn from Tennessee. And here's another senator you've never heard of, Cynthia Loomis of Wyoming.
Oh, God.
Tommy Tuberville of Alabama and Mitchell McConnell, they have introduced something called the, you ready? Saving American History Act, the Saving American History Act, which, as you know, they always name something in an Orwellian fashion that is completely the opposite of the actual content of what the legislation is. And this would prohibit the use of federal funds to teach the 1619 Project by kindergarten through 12, or school districts in general. And by the way, any federal funds intended for low-income students or students with special needs are not affected by this legislation. Now, wait a minute. What does that mean? So if your child has a special need, he can be taught this? if you're in a poor part of a city in a school, you can be taught this. Well, right. What the? All right. Anyway, But here you go. This is the ultimate example of a solution in search of a problem, because of there is no problem.
That's right.
And this is a culture war wedge issue, which is going to be, if you say this is bad legislation, then you hate white people. Okay. You think that everything is racist. You're a guilty liberal. You know, just pick your cliche. On and on it goes. And this was also introduced at the same time in the House of Representatives by a real piece of shit, Ken Buck of Colorado, and a congressman from Georgia you've never heard of named Rick Allen. Who knows where it's going to go? But Tom Tillis is bragging about it.
These are all stars.
He's bragging about it. So this is what they do, the perpetual grievance machine, and they've got a new one here. And, of course, this relates back to the professor who will never be tenured at the University of North Carolina, because even though she's won Pulitzer Prizes and has enough scholarship to fill up the room that you're sitting in, that's not good enough. Because we found one. We found one that we can just beat the shit out of, and we're going to run with it.
One might say that she's being canceled from tenure, you know, because that's cancellation. Because that's what that is, pal.
Yeah. No, that's different, Britt.
Oh, it is? Okay. Yeah. That's one of these days. I'll get it right one of these days.
BradandBritt.com.